It is now our pleasure to welcome to the podium Ms. Marilyn Miller. Marilyn is a solo practitioner whose primary office is in Dripping Springs. Used to be remote, now it's cosmopolitan. She received her undergraduate degree in She received her undergrad from the University of Kansas in education and biochemistry. I'm guessing if we asked for a show of hands of biochemistry majors in this room, it would be a pretty thin group. But she later changed directions and went back to University of Kansas for her JD, got her LLM in taxation from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. She's also a certified elder law attorney, full of knowledge, ready to share it with you. Please join me in welcoming Marilyn Miller.
When I got this assignment, there were a lot of unknowns. There are still a lot of unknowns. Oh, let me see if I can find. Oh, there we go. Like how to work this. Wait a minute. Thank you, Christina. I need to go back to page one. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is try to give you some context and background about the public health emergency. And there we go. Thank you. And hopefully we'll have some time, which the reason I asked them to stay was we may have time at the end of this for some questions. And any of the two presentations, fair game. So here we go. We are talking, when we talk about the public health emergency, about the COVID public health emergency. There are also public health emergencies that have been declared for opioid crisis, monkeypox, and national disasters. So if you go looking for information, if you Google for information on public health emergency or PHE, make sure that you're getting information on the current one for COVID. It's in the news right now, so there's probably not going to be a problem about getting current information on this public health emergency. The federal public health emergency was begun in January 30th, 2020, under the Public Health Emergency Act. Flexibilities were the most important thing that came out of declaring a public health emergency. It helped to fast-track COVID vaccines. It loosened healthcare regulations and expanded Medicaid funds to the states so that they could help expand the program and keep people on benefits. It was last renewed on January 11th, 2023, which is when I made these slides was important. It may not be so important now, as you'll hear in a slide or two. There is also a state component to the disaster because the governor can make a disaster declaration. And on March 13th, 2020, that's exactly what Governor Abbott did. By its plain language, this disaster declaration is in place to prohibit local governments from imposing mask or vaccine mandates on the population. And it was last renewed on December 16th, 2022. If you look closer at governor's disaster declarations, and this is on page one and two of my paper, it goes beyond just this, his ability. He has the ability to suspend regulatory statute or state agency rules without legislative approval. He also has the power to move money from one program to another program without legislative approval. It is, there's a whole list of powers that he gets with a disaster declaration. So far as I know, none of this has been done, but you may want to keep an eye on this because it could also impact how the unwinding occurs. I had visions of The Shining when I saw Clyde's email to me. That just ruined everything. The federal mandate, the important thing, like Clyde said, was to have continuous coverage for Medicaid beneficiaries, meaning that they couldn't be removed from Medicaid coverage during the disaster declaration or the public health emergency.